The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Is not man's life on earth a drudgery? What a great message to start our Sunday morning from Job in the first reading. If you remember Job, he struggles through this affliction that has come upon him. He's lost everything, including his family, and his friends have come to console him. And this is his response to his friends who are talking to him. Man's life on earth is a drudgery. Are not his days those of a hireling? He is a slave who longs for the shade, a hireling who waits for his wages all night long. I just want the dawn to come, and it drags on and on and on. And what's the point of the sun coming anyway? Because when I get up in the morning, there's no hope. There's no happiness in my life. We can all be there at that place where everything just seems to be going wrong. And what is the meaning and purpose of all of this? And God has permitted this to enter into the Holy Scriptures. This has divine approval. This is inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's the truth of a person in their struggling through life. And it's important that we know that as Job is speaking, it's kind of philosophy. He's philosophizing. What is the meaning of all this? What is the point of all this? But what he's not doing is reaching out. He doesn't know the face of the true God. It's not real prayer. It's more philosophy. It's more dialogue with his friends. It's not reaching out to the Lord yet. He will get there. We see the difference with Jesus. He's being visited by all kinds of people. Some have demons. Some are just overburdened with various diseases. He's healing everyone. He's driving out demons. He's preaching in towns. He's doing all this work. But there's one little note in the gospel that we're supposed to pick up that shows us how it is that he's able to do this continuously. It says, he rose very early before dawn, went off to a deserted place where he prayed. The word prayer in Greek means to have your face turned towards something or someone with dedication, consecration, resolve. Jesus is resolved to be constantly in dialogue with the Father, an intimate conversation of love. That's who God is from all eternity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, an intimate communion with one another. His entire life is his face turned towards the Father. That's why he can do the work he does without becoming Job. As the Son of the Father, the Son of God, that's who he is. His face is always turned toward God the Father. Always in dialogue, always in intimate love and communion. And that is what he has come to give to us, to have our faces turned towards God in consecration and resolution. That's what's going to give us the resolve to continuously do the things we do in life, carry on our mission without becoming Job. There's no hope. There's no chance of happiness. That's what's called introspection. my face turned towards myself. The word for person comes from the Greek also, prosopon. And that word means to have a face turned towards someone else. That's what it ultimately means to be a person. I'm turned towards others. The more I do that, the more person I become. That's why the real persons are God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God, the holy persons. And he's come to teach us how to be persons, to have faces that are turned towards him and towards one another. There's a great book by C.S. Lewis. Many know him for his Narnia books for children, but the best one he wrote and his favorite one was actually for adults. It's called Till We Have Faces. And it's a reworking of an old Greek myth about Cupid and Psyche. And so the setting for it is before Christ in Greek lands. And so it talks about gods instead of God. And the main character is the queen of a fictional land. Her name is Oriol. And essentially, Oriol goes through the entire novel with a great burning question. Why is it that everyone that I love is always taken from me? Why do not the gods come down here, show themselves, and answer for what they've done and what they do to people? They demand belief. They demand faith, trust. Why don't you show us that you're worthy of that trust and that belief? Come and show your face. Sit here before me and answer my questions. And Oriol goes through the entire novel. I'm not going to tell you because in hopes that you will read it, Till We Have Faces. But essentially, she gets to the end and she realizes it's not that the gods or God refuses to show his face or refuses to answer our questions. It's that, how can you see God if you don't have a face? If you're not turned out towards others in service, or towards most especially God himself. And that's what Christ has come to do, to give us a face so we can see God, learn his language. And that means prayer. Because prayer is what makes it ultimately about him and about communion and about turning towards others. I have to have that prayer, otherwise I become Job. I just keep looking at myself. But Christ gives us the language and he gives us the disposition. Ultimately, he gives us the face to be able to look out and to have a communion of love with God the Father. He's the one who does that perfectly. And as he said, this is what I have come for. That's why we hear in the second reading Paul say, I must preach the gospel. He goes through all the same struggles Job does in his life. But he keeps going because I have my face is turned towards God. That's why I can keep going, keep getting up, keep getting persecuted, keep getting beaten, abandoned, betrayed. I can keep doing it because I keep looking out. Christ has grabbed my attention and he's pulling me towards him. And I cannot not keep going. I cannot not proclaim the gospel. I must, because I want other people to have the same gift of having their face turned towards Christ and having the language to be able to speak to God the Father. And so we praise God that we've been given that great gift. Especially now in this beautiful and blessed sacrament where Christ turns his face towards us to be received. And we say, we have the opportunity to say amen with great resolution, with our face turned towards him in prayer. Yes, let my face become turned towards the Father and towards others, that I may live and burn the way Christ does.